In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One of the overarching themes of our canon of Scripture is restoration and healing. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, God has been calling us back into relationship. And this theme is woven into the accounts of people from Abraham and Sarah, to the great prophets, to Moses, and to the whole people of Israel, and to the disciples and the various people Jesus healed in his years on earth. And this theme of restoration and healing permeates the readings we have set for today. We hear the words of the great prophet Jeremiah, who proclaims the Lord's declaration that the exiled people in Babylon will be restored to their rightful place, as will the remnant communities left behind. We know when the Babylonians captured Jerusalem, they enslaved the wealthy and the productive members of society and they took them back to Babylon. But they left behind the lame and the sick and the poor to fend for themselves. But the Lord promised restoration to all of his people, who he calls his firstborn, to their rightful place, and also promised to console them as they work to re-establish themselves and heal from their traumatic period. In today's psalm, we also hear the psalmist proclaiming gratefulness at the restoration of Israel. It was a dream fulfilled that they had been returned to the land promised by God all those years before. It made them happy and joyful to be at home at last. And why wouldn't it? Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy, the psalmist declares. The power of transformation of an enslaved and discarded people from desperation to their rightful inheritance must have also been personally transformative. The relief felt by each person as freedom arrived must have been powerful and life-changing. But maybe it was also a time of anxiousness, as they needed to find their place in society again and to re-establish their families and homes. These powerful stories from long ago are for us today illustrations of hope. Even though we might despair at our current circumstances, we stay strong in our faith that God's purpose will eventually be made clear. All things are indeed possible if we hold to our faith and believe in the power of God to right all things, however, in God's time. The faith that we hold requires us to endure periods of waiting that can be at once frustrating and energy sapping. When our health is taken from us, or when our economic status is lowered, or when we indeed lose our freedom, restoration to what we considered normal can seem far away. For Bartimaeus, living with blindness all his life must have been a trying period. In Jesus' day, anyone that was not whole was considered a second-rate person. Purity and wholeness was the state that kept you in good standing in the community. But begging was a large part of life for anyone who was born blind or lame or couldn't work. And patience was required from them as they waited day by day to have their bowls filled. I think Jesus also wasn't immune from the feelings of frustrations as he waited for his disciples to come into a deeper understanding of who he really was, what his ministry was all about, and what his destiny was to be. Jesus knew his life would end and he would return to his Father, but in the meantime he had work to do to encourage others in his ministry and into a new life that was transformed by his teaching. The gospel reading that we have for today is not just a story of Jesus' healing of another person. It's not a standalone story, but must be read and understood in the context of the journey that Jesus was on. Today's passage is a bookend to a series of stories of Jesus' life in Mark's gospel that began with the healing of the blind man in Bethsaida. The man healed of his blindness in Bethsaida was not named. He was brought to Jesus by some of the crowd who believed Jesus was able to heal him. And if you remember the story, it takes Jesus two times to actually heal the man's blindness. But once he succeeds, he sends the man to his home, telling him not to go into the village. By contrast, in today's story of the blind man, we know the name of the man, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. There must be a reason why Mark has recorded his name. In this story, Jesus and the crowd that is following him are leaving Jericho, which is located on the plains of the Jordan River, and are about to embark on the climb up the mountains towards Jerusalem. Now, the blind and the lame nearly always begged at the edge of the city, near the gates where most of the people would come and go. And Bartimaeus must have heard the sound of the great commotion that would have accompanied Jesus and the crowd as they made their way through the streets toward the gate. As the rumble of the crowd crescendoed and the dust in the air overtook them, Bartimaeus leapt at his chance to encounter Jesus, who he knows to be the son of David, a descendant of royalty. However, unlike the earlier story of the blind man being brought to Jesus, here the crowd that envelops Jesus orders Bartimaeus to be quiet, to stay away. Undeterred, Bartimaeus yells even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And this time, Jesus heard him. His persistence paid off. Reluctantly, those close to him called him forward to meet Jesus. And by Jesus' words affirming the man's faith, he is healed and gets to follow the crowd out of Jericho on their journey to Jerusalem. You may also notice a difference in the efficacy of Jesus' healing of the first blind man and his healing of Bartimaeus. In the first instance, Jesus physically touches the man's eyes twice to restore his sight. But in this healing narrative, Bartimaeus' expressed faith is all that is needed for Jesus to restore his eyesight. It is his deep level of faith that I believe results in us knowing his name. It was his faith that resulted in the miracle. Also in this later story, Jesus does not chastise the crowd or his disciples, or Bartimaeus for that matter, for their actions. But Jesus, on his journey, accepts the situation and the royal epitaph that has been applied to him and wears them openly, whereas before he ordered those that he healed not to say anything, to be quiet and to leave them alone. But Jesus, now understanding his destiny, begins the physical and spiritual climb to the cross and does not send anyone away. The transformation of Jesus and his disciples seems to be heading, though, in two different directions. Jesus has been transformed by his 3 years of ministry to accept his destiny that will lead to his torture and death upon a cruel instrument of pain and suffering. Conversely, though, his disciples have been transformed from following this humble teacher who had called them from their simple lives to following someone who they thought would be recognized in Jerusalem as the new Messiah and crowned as king. For them, they were to be his closest followers and position of privilege and power. The trajectory of their different transformations would intersect on the cross, in Jesus' resurrection and in the days that followed. The pain they experienced in witnessing the betrayal of Jesus, his arrest and torture, and finally his crucifixion was so great that they largely abandoned him, Peter denying knowledge of him. No one but God truly knows the arc of our own lives. We try our best to shape our lives to our own desires and needs, but sometimes our lives take directions we never thought we would have to experience. In some cases, these turns are positive, but in other cases, they are negative. And in my experience, it's the turns that are negative that really hit us hard and require us to dig deep into our faith to sustain us. We can learn a lot from Bartimaeus and from understanding how lives are transformed under God's reign, both individually and as a society. What can seem like very dark times will end eventually, we know. And God, as we know, has promised not to burden us with anything more than we can bear. Holding on to our faith and crying out to Jesus to have mercy upon us is what sustains us and helps us to heal and to be restored. Scripture reveals to us how God works in the world, and from this we can draw hope that God is working always in our own lives as we hold to our faith and support others in their journeys of life. As we are healed, let us be like Bartimaeus and continue to follow and proclaim Jesus to the world that is in so desperate need of healing and transformation. Amen.